Blog Talk Radio.
Concerning the children.
and concerning us, because we are to come back to the Most High as children with that mindset. So we're going to read these verses, and then, you know, I want to have this discussion because what the Most High is wanting from us is, you know, a certain type of what I'm seeing, and I could be wrong. We can hash this thing out. But children come with a certain innocence, okay, and a dependency on their parents. And so they really count on their parents for everything. I believe this is what the Most High is saying to us, that, you know, we need to count on him for everything. So let's do the necessary. Let's do our statement of faith. Let us pray in, and then let's step into this. I know that the women, some of the women are doing a prayer group. I want to encourage you all to continue in that, and to, you know, to help one another, because that's what it's all about. And so it's a good thing.
Yes, it's been a blessing, Brother Miles. It's been a real blessing.
Amen. Amen. You know, if you know, when we can get together, and, you know, I can't speak to every woman's issue. I haven't gone through it. And I definitely can't speak to it, you know, through the eyes of a woman. So it's a good thing. You know, and as long as you're seeking the healing, seeking to help one another, nobody's trying to, you know, take over from one another or what have you, you know, and you have genuine love for one another, then nothing but good can come of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah. I want to encourage you all to do that. As I said, I can't address every issue. I can speak to certain things, but, you know, there's things that I cannot speak to. I don't have the experience in it. Didn't go through it myself. And, you know, I can ask the Most High to show me and make me empathetic, put myself in your shoes, but that can only go so far. You know, I can more so do it for a man, being a man. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer that there are some things that we need women to address for women. Then that's just, you know, it's just a fact. And there needs to be a woman's ministry. And I've always said that from the beginning. So, you know, I want to encourage you in that thing. And, you know, just keep me apprised. I want to know what you eat. So forth, so that I can, you know, sort of keep my finger on the pulse. But,
Yes. That's why I sent you the books we were reading.
Amen. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. And I'll, you know, I'll even read the books so I can understand, as I said, what you're eating from that standpoint. All right, that being said, let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holiness must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. Excuse me. Coffee getting to me. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us all give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. And thank him for just allowing us to wake up this morning. I heart to do this particular prayer. Let's go to Psalm 23. The book of Psalm 23.
Amen.
And this has been on my heart for a minute, but it's especially on my heart this morning. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. And it's our prayer this morning. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul at the righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever.
Amen.
Amen. And
hallelujah.
Let us go to 2 Kings. Our foundation for at least the first part of this year. I think the Most High is going to change it, but we're still here. Our foundational verses to remind us who we are. 1 Kings chapter 8, we're starting at verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so as I carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes be open, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. We are going to, I had to go back and listen to what we actually talked about, or I talked about last week. And we were dealing with the children, and we dealt with it from the verses of Colossians. And let me get here. We dealt with it from the standpoint of Colossians chapter 3, you know, for to tell the children to hear the instruction of their fathers and forsake not the law of their mother, because the mothers are doing the vast majority of the child rearing, and they're usually setting the law in the household concerning the children. The father can, you know, usually have an input, but the children are usually around the mother, and she's most of the time doing the vast majority of the child rearing. Now, it's not an absolute, okay? But typically, this is the typical family. I can speak for mine. You know, I can't speak for anyone else's, but I saw my role as the provider, okay? And there was things that I wanted to provide to my family, a certain standard of living that I wanted to provide. So I made sure that if my wife didn't want to work, she didn't have to work. And it was her desire to work, then I never stopped her from working. I've always taken it on that it was my responsibility to provide for my house, to make sure that, you know, there was enough money to do what we wanted to do. And if, you know, they had a roof over their head, you know, clothes on their back, food, those types of things, the necessities of life, and then some of the things that they want. I never, you know, wanted to, even though I ended up still doing it, spoiling both my wife and my children, and I realized that, I had to come to that terms, you know, that was not my intent, but that's what I did. So some of the things, issues that I was facing or am facing, was because of what I insisted upon. And so when, you know, our children were small, daycare was expensive. And, you know, being in the military, I didn't think that I was making enough to provide everything that I wanted to provide. But, you know, after I had gone through the finance, I'm like, wow, we're wasting a lot of money. So there's some, you know, some changes that I had to make, but it has always been my premise that my wife would not have to work if she did not want to work, and I would prefer that she would be home, you know, with the children, so that she could make sure we knew, you know, where they were at. We knew that, you know, they weren't in some stranger's house, because you never know what goes on somewhere else. I did not want my children to, and especially my girls, but even my boy, to experience any type of sexual abuse, because I know this thing is rampant, this spirit is rampant in our society. Too many women complain about it. Too many women have, and when I say complain, they have that justifiable. They were molested, you know, by somebody that was older. And I did not want them to, my children to experience that. I did not want, you know, to have my girls come and say, somebody, you know, touched me inappropriately because they were out of our control. And so, I have always had that standing position with my wife. Hey, if I have to work 3 jobs so that we can do what we need to do and have what we need to have, what we want to have, then that's what I'll do. Your job is the house. And so that was always my premise. Now, yeah, my wife had dreams of her own as well. And for me, was I doing what I wanted to do in life? Kind of, sort of, kind of not. I mean, if I was doing what I really wanted to do in life, I would have been an astronomer. Love looking at the stars through the telescope and stuff like that. But that, you know, that's not the way that my life turned out. So, you know, you go through life, and from what I can see, some people get to do what they love to do. Some people do what they have to do. And in my case, you know, when I turned 18, my father was like, you got to go. You're a grown man. You can't stay here. This was his philosophy. Now, it wasn't his philosophy for the girls. But for the boys, that's what was his philosophy. You turn 18, you got to go. So I ended up going into the military. And that wasn't a bad move for me. It allowed me to grow up and gave me a steady job, a roof over my head, that type of thing, and it was secure. And then when I got married, it was a secure income. So it wasn't, I don't look at it as, I never regret going into the military. It's what you make. And I even advise some young men to go because it gives them a chance, even young women, to go into the military because it gives them a chance to grow up. Because when you're 18 years old, you don't really know what you want to be. You don't know what you want to do. You might have an ideal. Let me stop that. No absolutes. Some people, some children know what they want to do with their lives at a young age. So, as I said, there's no absolutes. But the vast majority of people don't know. We are, confused. We're just living day to day. Some of us may have somewhat of a plan. Some of us may not have any type of plan. As far as for me, mine was kind of made for me. You're 18, you got to go. Well, I don't have a scholarship to college, so it's the military. My mother sort of talked me into that. And I had planned to go for 4 years. That was it. I wasn't planning on making the military a career. But that's what it turned into, was a career. Nevertheless, getting married and having children, then a lot for me, and this is just my philosophy. I'm not saying anybody else has to agree with this or live by this. These were just the rules that I had set personally for myself. Was once I got married, then it became all about my family, my wife, and when we have children, my children. And whatever, as a unit, when we were dating, we talked about certain things that we desired. And so for me, my job was to make those things happen. And that's what I endeavored to do, whether I had to work 2 jobs or 3 jobs to make it happen. And when we had, when we had children, then I wanted them to have everything that they needed, some of the things that they wanted. That was my philosophy. So, people can get big eyes. They, especially as children, they see things. They want everything. Okay, you can get some of that. What do you really want? Let me see if I can figure out what it is that you really want out of all these things that you say that you want, because we can have big eyes and point to everything. And so I tried to figure out what my children's, what their interests were, and what they wanted to be in life, and what motivated them. Always in sports and things like that. So as we are coming up, you know, I didn't want to be wealthy. You know, that was never my goal. At one time I did, and then it was not really my goal because I found that those things consume you. And so if the Most High, you know, at one time, you know, I could have had million-dollar contracts. But somehow it was not the desire of the Most High, no, because it would have taken me down another path and out of what he wanted me to do. So I used to write software, taught myself how to write, you know, how to program and write software for the churches that were in the Pentecostal assemblies of the world. And, you know, I wrote the software that would allow them to control their licensing, you know, the councils that they had, registration for different functions and things like that. And I first wrote it for one church, and then I wrote it for the state of Arizona, then the state of California, and then took it to the actual national council. Hey, want to present this to the council to use, you know, across the entire organization. And, you know, men, what I found is that men are greedy, okay? Men are greedy. And I didn't really understand the politics of it. But, you know, if men see you getting something, they want a piece of it. And so it just so happened that the Most High, the economy went bad, is what happened, 2008, 2009, in that area. Economy went bad, and a lot of people lost their jobs. And a lot of these churches could not afford doing the software and things like that because when people lost their jobs, people stopped tithing. They were trying to keep a roof over their head. And so the funding for the churches and all that, it went way down, the money that they were receiving, because the people just didn't have the money. And so I had to change my focus. Nevertheless, we want to, as men and women, my understanding is now, you know why I went even with here. As men and women in this walk, in our relationships, we want to do those things with our families that promote spiritual wellness, that promote living this godly life, that, you know, we are coming up and doing the things and showing our children, giving them values that are based on the Most High. So my focus, you know, was to provide for my family, but I always knew that I was called to the ministry. Been knowing that since I was 21. Didn't always run toward the ministry. But, you know, I wanted my household to be a godly household. And, you know, we still have issues. So on today, we're going to be dealing with this topic from the standpoint of what Messiah says concerning the children and us, because we have to come back to him as children. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. The book of Matthew, chapter 18, we're going to get verses 1 through 3. And when you are there, if you will say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. At the same time came the disciples unto Yeshua, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Yeshua called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily or seriously, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you be converted and become as little children. So when I read this verse, these verses, and I'm looking at, and I'm, you know, thinking, what is Messiah really talking about here? Unless you be converted and become as little children. So you got to go back and look at a child. And when we're talking about children, we're not talking about toddlers. Let's say 5, 6 years old. They kind of have, they are kind of developed, they are developing always, but what am I trying to say here? Curious about the world, but they are dependent still 100% upon their parents. And they need certain things from their parents, like security, love. They need to be provided for. And they need to be trained in the ways that they ought to go. The Most High wants us to come back to Him like a child, understanding that we need to be secure in Him. We need to count on Him for our security. We need to count on Him for our training. We need to count on Him to provide for us. We really need to become dependent upon Him, because when we are in the world and we are without Him, it's all about us and what we can do. What we can, you know, what kind of training we can get. What we think we have to do to acquire the things that we want, the security that we want, the safety that we want, the love that we want, how we treat people. You know, it's going to be based upon what we learned and what we were taught, either by our parents or by the world. I was looking at a series on Mary J. Blige, and loved her music, still love her music, even though I don't get to listen to it at all. And she was talking about her life growing up in the ghetto. And I can relate to that. I mean, all my life, I have not lived, you know, I've lived on and off in the ghetto as a child. You know, my father was in the Air Force. When he went overseas, we would go back to my mother's home, her hometown, and her father and mother lived in the ghetto, the Brickyard in Birmingham, Alabama. And so we would always, when he was overseas, we always went back there. And so I had a, you know, exposure to that. And then when he would come back from overseas, you know, we would leave and we would go to an Air Force base, another city, and it was a completely different lifestyle. And so it was this back and forth for, I think up until the time that I was 14 when my father retired. Okay, so a little bit of living in the ghetto, a little bit of not living in the ghetto. A little bit of living in all black neighborhoods, to living in where there were hardly no black, different exposure. With that being said, you know, I just lost my whole train of thought there. My mind was completely someplace else. We have to be converted to want the life that the Most High wants for us. And so what He desires, we are taught as children, you know, that what the plans our parents really wish for us. And a lot of the times that may not be what the Most High wants for us. And so the Most High wants us to come back to Him as children and to count on Him. One of the things that I know that He desires for us, and especially, if, you know, and this doesn't matter who we are when we come to Him, He's expecting us to become priests. I wasn't taught that as a child. I know that. I wasn't taught that as a child, but that was an expectation. But if we are to embrace who we are as a people, then we have to understand that we have already been chosen and have a calling on our lives as to who and what we are and what we are to become. And this is one, I think, one of the biggest failings of, I would have to say, my mother and father, but I'm thinking of, as us as a people, if you don't really know who you are as a people, and you don't really know and have an embrace who you are as a people, then you will never really know what the Most High has truly called you to. So as I've gotten older and, you know, into the Word, and the Most High has taught me things, I understand that when we convert and become as little children, then we also should be coming into training to be that priesthood that the Most High desires. This is what he called us to. And we, as a people, have gotten caught up in the world. So our parents would teach us, hey, you need to go to school, get an education, and what do you want to be? What's going to make you happy? Many of us probably have education, have degrees, maybe doing the thing that we want to do. But then when we look at our life in comparison to what the Most High may want for us, we may realize that it doesn't line up. So we have jobs, we're doing things, but then when you understand that I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, that's your calling. And so whatever job that we get and that we do should be in support of that calling. You know, the kingdom is made up of all kind of jobs. And, yes, you can get that training from the world, but if we had our own institutions, then we would not be going to the world for those things. Or typically what has happened is you become what your parents were. So if your parents were farmers, you became a farmer. If your parents were tent makers, you became a tent maker. If your parents were whatever. The problem that I see in this is that a lot of the times our parents were doing things that had nothing to do with the kingdom. So their jobs had nothing to do with the kingdom. And they were just doing the best that they could to provide, making their way the best that they could. What I am seeing the Most High saying for me in this thing is that when we convert and become as little children, then we at our conversion have to understand that we are relying on the Most High for everything, and we are relying on him to tell us what is his will for our life. He has already told us what his will is. We want you to be a priest, a nation of priests. That is our calling from him. And so everything that we do is really to be focused on that. As a people, we look at the world, and I'm going to speak in general here, as a people, understanding that if we are Israel of the flesh, okay, if we are Israel of the flesh, then our calling is the priesthood. And when we come as little children, then we have to be trained up in the priesthood as little children so that it is something that if you tell your child that, I abuse my own family. Your children don't always, you might have certain dreams for your children that they don't have those same dreams. They don't have those same goals. And so I believe there becomes a time in every person's life that we have to be taught what it is that the Most High expects of us. And then we individually have to choose to answer that call. And everybody's not going to answer. But most of us come to the Most High in spirit and in truth at an older age. And at an older age, we have already been indoctrinated into the world. We have already set our path, our foot on a certain path. And it probably does not line up with ministry. Neither lines up with doing what we think is going to be successful as the world describes. As our parents said, oh, you need to be a doctor, you need to be a lawyer, you need to be this or that. If we got that, everybody didn't get that guidance. Everybody didn't have the same upbringing. So from the standpoint, spiritual standpoint, and I feel like I'm kind of all over the place this morning. I don't know what it is, but the Most High wants us to convert. And our conversion is to make us like him. And then we have to understand the calling of coming to him. All those that he is saving, he's not saving us to be philosophers or to be these different things that are in the world, these different occupations. He's saving us to be a priesthood. He's saving us to understand how to minister to him. He's saving us to understand how to minister to our fellow man. So this occupation and this conversion, we have to understand it's to the end to do what it is that he's wanting us to do. We want to be converted and stay doing what we're doing. And I'm not going to say stop at this point. I'm saying that from the children's standpoint, we have to put it within our children, the next generation, from the beginning. This is your occupation. And we have to ourselves be converted and be already, as I said, you can't transfer anything to anyone that you're not doing. You can't show somebody how to depend upon the Most High if you're not depending upon them. You can't show somebody how to have security in the Most High if you are not secure in him. I hope this is making sense. Because like, I feel like I'm kind of bouncing this morning all over the place. Tell me, what do you think? What do you think this verse means? Unless you are converted and become as little children. Anybody? Come on now.
That we depend solely on him for everything.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Do you want to know a specific?
Sure.
He teaches us how to live. He teaches us how to treat each other. He teaches us what to eat. He teaches us what to say. He looks out for us. He heals us. I don't know about nobody else, but he is my everything. I don't move unless he say it.
Amen. Amen. Because I agree 100% with you. Anyone else?
I think you have to train your mind as a little child. I mean, learn as a little child. Like, go back to the beginning and start. And learn.
Amen.
That's what I think it means.
Amen.
Amen. You got to go back to the beginning of what?
The Bible.
Amen.
To try to find out it is that he, you, God preferred, because when you start, well, when I start trying to search out for God, I had to relearn. I had to relearn because everything that I was taught was, I found out was a lie. So now I gotta reprogram my mind. I gotta rethink what they've been telling me. I gotta rethink it and think it like, what would God do in this situation?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you gotta get your standards. You gotta find out the mind of the Most High and make that your standard.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone?
Yes, Brother Miles, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
When the word child, I just think of a child and how I felt when I was a child. And, you know, children are submissive to their parents, most children. So that's becoming submissive to me, becoming meek, humble. I wanted to go everywhere my father went. I wanted to do everything I seen my father do. So, and then it didn't matter what my father did, right or wrong, he was still my father. I forgave him all the time. I don't know. It was just, children are so forgiving. They're so loving. They're so caring. When they first come out the mother's womb, they don't know anything about hate. They don't know anything about hate. They don't know nothing about color, none of those things, until they're taught those things. Children are the most purest form to God, next to God. Even the babies, I love them. So that childlike, that meek, that submissive spirit that children have towards their parents until they're taught otherwise, that's what I think that scripture means, to be humble, to be meek.
Amen. I agree with that, too. Because those, you know, as you said, when a child comes out of the womb, it doesn't know color. It doesn't know hatred. It don't know love either. It has to learn all these things. It has to be taught these things. And as Sister Dean said, going back to the beginning and reteaching ourselves, relearning what the requirements of our Father, our Heavenly Father, is. What does he say is good? What does he say is bad? What does he say is right? What does he say is wrong? As my other sister said, he teaches us all aspects of life, what we should eat, what we should wear, how we should treat one another. And we have to, you know, we have to go back and learn those things from the aspect of maybe unlearning some things that we have already been taught. Unlearning some things, that some behaviors that we have already acquired.
Yes, Lord.
So I agree with everything that everyone has said. You know, it's good input.
Yes.
But from all of you, it's good input. Lest you be converted and become as little children. Go back to the beginning and start over. And I think for the most part, you know, this can happen at any age. Okay? As I said before, spiritual babes can be at any age, spiritually. And we, you know, we can come to the Most High at any age. So age doesn't really have anything to do with this. It has to do when we come to the Most High, when we are converted, and then what we are taught. You know, we had one of the sisters said that everything that she had been taught, she learned was a lie. And I'm quite sure at the time that she was being taught from a young age, you know, it became her values. This is what she was told. She trusted that what she was being told was the truth. And when we find out, you know, that what we were taught was not the truth, Depending upon what it is hard to accept. Nobody wants to believe that they believed a lie for and was living a lie, especially when we have made it part of us. And we've told other people these things, only to find out that it wasn't true. So I agree 100% with all of you with your input, those who gave input, that, yes, you got to go back to the beginning. We have to be as innocent as babies coming out of the womb, not seeing color, not seeing prejudice or hate. You know, he says, if, you know, if we could get this, he says, love your enemies. Why are they your enemies? Because probably because you got something against them. Some type of hate or prejudice. And so we have to understand, he's saying, you know, I believe that everyone that gave input, that it was on point. Go back to the beginning, to the womb. You must be, what did he say? You must be what? Born again. But not going back, you can't go back into the womb and be born again, but you have to be mentally and spiritually born again. You got to go back and start over from the beginning. You got to be filled with his spirit. Go back to the beginning and start to learn all over again from his perspective. So what does the Father say concerning whatever? We should seek it out in the scriptures, no matter what the subject. What does our Heavenly Father say concerning this thing? And then make that our position. And, you know, we really have to seek it out, because sometimes you can go searching for scripture. If I can't find it, no next. But then the Most High sends you somebody, or he shows it to you. This is the scripture concerning it. You have to base your life upon that. And when it comes to reprogramming ourselves. Sometimes it can be very hard to do. So it also comes down to your desire. Because if you don't want to make a change, trust me, I don't care how much teaching you get, I don't care how much reading, word you get, if it's not within you to want to make the change, to be converted, you're not going to convert. You're going to fight it. You'll know it's right and still fight it, because the desire and the will is not within you to do it. So we have to first hear the word, and then we have to believe the word, and then we have to do what we believe. And some things we will believe right away, they will ring true to us, and some things will not. Some things have to come in time as we mature in that thing. So I agree 100% with all of you. Come out as a child, a newborn child, in spirit, and understanding the Most High says, you know, all that prejudice that you had, you got to let it go. All that hate that you were taught, you got to let it go. All that acting this way, you got to let it go. This is how my children behave. They don't run around starting with, you know, running to mischief. They don't run around trying to do bad. They don't run around trying to conduct themselves in a manner that is contrary to their father. They try to do those things that are pleasing to their father. So what does the father say about this? And women, I don't want you running around and fornicating. This is not good. Because the world will say, even today, you know, like from last night, even the precept, the spirit of Baal is heavy on this nation, and the nation on the TV and everything else is saying, you know, whenever you think you're ready for sex, it's okay. And you should be, you know, whatever makes you happy, you should do it. And if it means looking at another man and desiring him, it's okay. If it means looking at a woman, looking at another woman, it's okay. Just do what makes you happy. You know, most times I put you here for my pleasure, to make me happy, and as my child, as my representative, because that's who we are. And as his representative, he says, this is how my children behave. So love one another. Genuinely, look, because you're all in the same boat. You're all humans and you're in the same boat. Any second, any one of you can be struck down by an accident. So tomorrow's not promised to any of you. So treat one another with love. Prefer one another in love. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. If you don't want nobody stealing from you, don't you steal from nobody. If you don't want somebody trying to kill you, don't you try to kill nobody. If you don't want somebody doing whatever, the standard has to be the Most High. It has to be him. So we have to learn what it is that his standard is and what he says. Get our instruction from him concerning these things, because when we are born again and become as little children and converted, we are not really starting from the beginning. We have a path. We're not coming out of the womb just like that baby, even though he wants us to come back like that baby. So we have some experiences that we bring to the table. Maybe we experience prejudice. And so we have that experience that we bring to the table. Maybe we were abused. We have that experience that we bring to the table. And a lot of those things require us to be healed. And so we have to go through, we really have to take it to the Father and ask him, how do I get healed from this thing? If it was any type of abuse, physical, sexual, mental, because we're all scarred in different kind of ways. You know, if your parents always called you ugly, you're going to grow up believing you're ugly. If they called you dumb, you're going to believe that you were dumb. If, you know, if you weren't really given, if you felt like you were rejected, nobody understood or loved you. Everything you did was wrong. If you grew up in a family where it was blended and maybe one of the parents, you weren't actually their child, and they treated you differently, and you felt it and you knew it. So we bring these things with us when we come to the Most High. And what he wants us to do, and this is just my understanding, when we come to him with those hurts, those scars, one of the first things he says, lessons he teaches us, is that I forgave you, so you need to do what? You need to forgive. Whatever the hurt is, whoever did it to you, you need to acknowledge it and then forgive them. Why? Why is that so important? Because 99% of the time, I won't say 100% of the time, you know, sometimes that person hurts you and they may realize that they hurt you and maybe they are already sorry for it, because, you know, everyone's different. So let's go from the standpoint that they realize that they hurt you and they're sorry for it. And they've never been able to tell you that they were sorry for it. It happened and I understand that it was wrong, and I'm so sorry that I took you through that so that you both can heal. Maybe they are at that place, and sometimes you have to go, you know, that's where we have to go. And if we have an op with our brother, go and confront it with them one-on-one. See where they're at. See if they are also hurting from the incident. Because maybe they are just as sorry that they did it as you are that they did it. And they didn't know how to approach you and tell you. Maybe they were just ashamed that, you know, I don't know what came over me. I did that to you, and it has bothered me ever since, and I just didn't know how to approach you. I didn't think you would ever forgive me. So you have to find out where they're at first. And the scripture gives us the prescription for that. Bring them, go up and confront them yourself first. And if they will not hear you, then take somebody else with you, so that you can try to heal. But you have to forgive them. Why? Forgiveness does this, okay? Forgiveness takes, okay, we got a lot of, somebody's doing stuff in the background. I think we're going to have to mute the phone. Or let me have you guys mute your phones, okay? Everybody mute your phones, and if you have something to say, then just hit the number one or whatever. All right. So forgiveness takes place like this, and why we have to forgive. When somebody offends us, we are hurt, whether it is emotionally, physically, psychologically. We are hurt. We are injured. And whenever we see that person, whenever we deal with that person, that is the emotion that we're going to always deal with them from, our hurt, out of that offense. And the only way to get rid of that is you got to take the power from it. So how do you take the power from that hurt? By forgiving. I forgive you. I'm going to let this go. Why? Because it's hurting me. As long as I hold on to it, every time I see you, I get angry. Every time I see you, I relive whatever we went through. Every time I see you, I feel like I need to pay you back. But when you forgive somebody, if you truly forgive them, you let those things go. And so that when you confront them, when you have a interaction with them, slowly but surely, that pain goes away. And that situation doesn't affect you the way that it was. So, you know, you got a best friend. And this, you know, you can truly see this in best friends. People who are best friends, they say something to one another, they do something to one another, they offend, one of them offends the other, or they come into a confrontation, and at the minute they have words. But then one of them will say, oh, I'm sorry. And they will both forgive one another. And they'll go on. They know what happened, but they don't hold on to it. They don't hold on to it. So that particular situation has no power. Even though we had words, we know we had words, but I forgive you. I know you got my back. You know, I know that it was, well, we had a misunderstanding. And I forgive you for that. So I had, you know, I had some brothers that I when I went into the military, two brothers that I went through basic training with, went through technical training with, and we actually got stationed at the same base together, which was, you know, really unusual for that to happen, for, you know, some people to meet, go through basic training together, then they get assigned to the same job, and then end up at the same base. So it was like we had this camaraderie, and we had each other's back. And I really considered these two brothers like my brother, And we would have confrontation. It wasn't like everything was always perfect. But we knew that there were certain things we were not going to do to one another. Like we had a standing commitment that if you were talking to this girl, I won't talk to this girl. Okay. And so we're never going to cross each other like that. And if I called you at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, "Hey, I need you to come get me," I could count on you coming to get me. And whatever it was, whether it was money or whatever it was, we had each other's back. And then when we would have words with one another, those words, you know, that confrontation would last for that moment. We go apart for an hour or so, come back together, "Yo, man, let's talk about this thing." "All right." And then we would hash it out and then let it go. And let it go. So we forgive each other for that transgression against one another. And that bond that we had, it was just solid, couldn't be broken. We had people try to break it intentionally. Because you guys are tight. Yeah, you know, and we don't always do or say what each other wants us to say or do, but we are committed to one another as brothers. When we are in relationship, a lot of times because we don't talk things out or we don't, you know, we have a certain position and we're not willing to move off of that position and we have confrontation, or I feel this way about this and you feel that way about it, and neither one of us wants to move. No compromise. And so something happens and then we're not willing to let it go. We're not willing to forgive. So in everything, the Most High says, if you've been transgressed against, he says, use him as the example. While we were yet enemies, I loved you and I forgave you. You were contrary to me. And yet I still came and laid my life down for you. And we were enemies. So you loved me because I first loved you. I forgave you your transgression. Now I want you to forgive all those people who have transgressed against you, who hurt you. And not just say you forgive them just in words, but I forgive you. That don't mean that you got to go back into a relationship with them. But I forgive you. I'm not going to let what you did affect me the way that it's been affecting me. So whatever it was that you did to me, whatever it is, and I, you know, can't speak in specifics because we all get hurt in different ways. But whatever that hurt is or was, usually, and I talk about somebody that was already repentant, but typically the person that offended you sometimes maybe may not have known that they offended you, or they knew and didn't care. And so if you're seeking, in this case, if you're seeking, well, let me go back up here. In the first case where they were repentant, truly repentant means that, yeah, I understand that I offended you, I hurt you, I abused you, I did whatever, and I will never do it again. I will hurt myself before I hurt you. If truly repentant, I'm never going to do that again. Now, if you have been through that and you trusted them, they did it again, then you need to count that for what it is. They didn't really, they weren't truly sorry or repentant. They just said what they needed to say to get back in your good grace. You still need to forgive them for that, but that don't mean you got to go back into a relationship with them because they have proven that they are not trustworthy. But if they are, then the scripture says, then you have gained a brother or a sister. Because this person generally was good, and they generally wasn't really trying to, you know, they're not a bad person. They're not, you know, they don't go around intentionally trying to hurt people, and you guys have had an altercation, and they truly are sorry. I truly didn't mean to hurt you that way. It's not my nature to do that. Don't know what happened between us, but this is where we are, and I feel bad about it. I feel bad about what happened between us, and I'm sorry. Then you have gained a brother or a sister. Now let's take it to the other side. They have hurt you, and they don't care. And we have people like that, okay? Don't care that they have hurt you, that they have offended you. Then you still need to forgive them. But you don't have to go back into a relationship with them, because here's why. The hurt and the pain is yours. They're not feeling it. And when you see them and you get angry, or that situation comes back up in your mind and you get this ill feeling, you want to do them harm, you know how we can be. You're the ones having those feelings. They may not be having that at all. And if you hold on to it, you're the one hurting. You're the one that's getting sick behind these feelings. Because these feelings, a lot of the times, ill feelings, will manifest in your body as sickness or disease. And you're wondering why your body's feeling a certain way and why you can't heal from a certain thing. It's because of this hate or this hurt or this animosity that you're holding within your spirit. And so the only way out of that is to forgive them. I'm gonna forgive you, and I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to let this have power over me. That don't mean that you have to go back and get into the same relationship with that person. That don't mean that you have to go back and put yourself in the same situation where they're allowed to do the same thing to you. I forgive you, but I'm not going to be in the same relationship with you. We're not going to have the same friendship. I thought you forgave me. I do, but what you did was so egregious that I don't have any ill will for you. If you need help, I'll help you. But you know what? I can't deal with you every day. I don't hate you. But I don't want to feel this way either. I don't want to have these feelings about you. I don't want to have this hate towards you, because it's affecting me. And the Most High told me, if I don't forgive those who have transgressed against me, he won't forgive me, my transgression. So we have to look back in our lives and all those people who hurt us that way, who we have formed an opinion about, and we have based our lives on it. And we have gone through some things that we shouldn't have gone through because we weren't willing to forgive. And we treat other people a certain way because I'm not going to let anybody else do that to me. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I allow anybody else to hurt me that way. And so we actually, out of those feelings, out of that non-forgiveness, can actually hurt other people who genuinely mean us no harm. But I'm not going to allow you to hurt me. It's not my intent to hurt you. I know, but I've been through this, and it ain't going to never happen again. But that was that person. So for myself, I can only talk about me. My tendency is to trust you fully when I first meet you. That would be a lie, so let me not do that. My tendency is to not distrust you. I always have a certain amount of, you know, there's a certain amount of good sense conscience. I don't know you as a person. I'm not going to think the worst of you from the beginning. I'm going to give you, with, you know, some caution, we start interacting. I'm going to trust you to a degree from the beginning, because I'm going to assume that you're a good person until you prove otherwise. And then once you prove otherwise, then I will start treating you with more caution. So if you tell me something, I'm going to assume that you're not going to lie to me, that you're going to tell the truth. Now, I'm assuming that you're telling the truth, but I'm also still looking to see that if what you say is true. I'm not going to go out of my way, but I'm going to have a certain amount of trust there from the beginning. Now, when you prove to me that you are not trustworthy, that you have no integrity, that what you say one thing and do another, then I will treat you according to that. And if we have, you know, if there's an offense between us, then I'm going to, number one, I'm going to acknowledge it, but then if it offended me, then I'm going to forgive you. And I'll tell you why it offended me. And I'll give you the chance to repent of it and not do it again. Okay, and we can still have a relationship as far as friends, what have you. When you prove that you are not trustworthy, that you have no integrity, that you have no honor, because see, these are traits that honor and integrity are very big with me. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're not going to do something, don't do it. Now, things can come up and things can happen. I understand that. And I'm in a situation right now that I feel real bad about. And I'm not going to speak to it, but, you know, I told somebody I would do something, and I just have not been able to bring my heart to do it yet. But I have to do it because I told them I would do it. So we want to have honor and integrity amongst ourselves. This is what the Father said. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you answer yes and you agree, then do it. If you answer no, then don't do it. Integrity, honor. You have to have that amongst family members. You have to have that amongst friends. And when we don't have these traits, then it's very hard to trust. You know, when you trust somebody and every time you turn around, they're lying to you, we know what happens with that. Then every time they open their mouth, they assume they're lying. Or you can't believe nothing they say. So even amongst each other, as the children of the Most High, we have to be honest with one another. We have to be open. We have to have integrity, and we have to have honor. You know, we got so many people out in the world, they will tell you one thing, but they're really, their intention is something else. They're saying one thing, but their intention is something else. And where we get hurt is when we trust somebody and we believe what they said, and we find out what they said was not true. They had no honor. And I don't know why they would do that to me. And I don't know why they would treat me that way. And I don't know why. Then you really have to go to that person because maybe you never really knew them. A lot of times we get into relationships because we're searching for a certain thing. We're searching for love. We're searching for acceptance. We're searching for a partner. We want somebody that we can, that we say, well, be our ride or die. You know, you got my back. You know things about me nobody else knows. Yada, yada, yada. I'm sharing myself with you. I'm sharing things with you that I wouldn't share with anybody else. Because I need somebody in my life that's that way. And most of us are that way. We want somebody in our life that we can share things with. We can expose ourselves to. This is what the Most High is talking about when Adam and Eve put on the fig leaf. They hid themselves from each other, even mentally, not just physically. And typically when we're looking for somebody to love in our life, if we don't have a good friend that we can share those things with, then we, you know, we're typically looking for that in our partner. You know, I should be able to share anything with you. I should be able to expose myself to you, my vulnerability.
Right.
I was treated this way as a child, so I feel this way when these things happen. And because I shared it with you, I'm expecting that you won't take advantage of it. That you would protect me in that sense. That you would understand that, you know, when I see this type of situation, or if this thing happens, then I'm going to react a certain way out of these feelings because of this. So we look for somebody like that, that we can share with like that. In this walk, we have all gone through some things. Mentally, emotionally, physically.
What you doing out there, little one?
Girl, don't go fight my
team. I think sometimes we forget we're on the phone. All right. So, as people, as children of the Most High, one of the first things that we have to do coming back to the Most High is learn how to forgive. We have had some racial things done to us as people. And the Most High says, okay, you still got to forgive. That don't mean you got to forget. That don't mean you got to intentionally expose yourself to allow them to do that, especially if it's racial. But if we hold on to, like when I was a child in Birmingham, Alabama, I had my best friend was white. His name was Walter. And he and I would go up into the mountains in Birmingham, Alabama. They had some canyons in the mountains. And we ran into some Klan meetings in the mountains. We're about 11, 12 years old. Had they caught us, they would have killed both of us. Now, I grew up in the time, at that time, civil rights, you know, the marches were going on. Marching from Selma, Birmingham to Selma, this era. And so the relationship with white people, I really never had an issue with white people. But I understood that a lot of them did not have my best interest at heart. And so I proceeded with caution, but that didn't make me hate all white people. Because I was, and this was in the project, a different project, the project that my grandfather lived in, the project that he lived in, there was no white people. When we moved across town, the project that we moved into, there was white and black people in the project. All of us poor. And so having lived outside of that and having lived in other states where there was barely any black people, you know, it was on the military base, and my friends, a lot of my friends were white. When I came back to Alabama, it wasn't like I had this chip on my shoulder concerning white people, even though we were in the Deep South. And I understood it. And when we would be going through the mountains and had to run from the Klan, to me, it was those people who had the problem. They were, you know, they were the prejudiced ones. But the one that I was running with, the white kid that I was running with, there was no prejudice between us. We just ran together, and we had each other's back. And so there was that mixed bag for me. Can't say this is everybody's experience. But I understood when I went into the military, I saw racism. I experienced racism. I experienced having people over me who were racist and didn't have my best interest at hand, and their goal was to kill my career. And so I saw them. I saw systematic racism where, let's say, my boss at that time, he would get a job in. He would intentionally let it become late and then give it to me. And then tell his boss that the job was late because of me. Now, I don't know when the job was due. I just know when he gave it to me. I don't know what he's telling his boss. So he's systematically painting this picture of me, job by job, and saying that it's late because of mine. And so his boss is getting the picture in his mind that, oh, Miles can't do the job. I go to school. I was doing this job and hadn't been to school for it yet. I go to school and I come back, honor grad, 100%, every test. Air Force is saying, hey, we want this man, everybody coming into Europe doing this job, we want him to train them. My boss and supervisor are looking at him, and they're looking at each other like, how is the Air Force wants him to train everybody, and you're telling me that he can't do this job? But because they were both white, he still supported his supervisor. And when he wrote me, you know, negative reviews, he endorsed them. And even though I went to him and said, hey, this is not true. So I've been exposed to systematic racism where people have power over you and they are doing things to you because of your race. I still forgave those men. I said, you know what? I'll just have to find a way within the system to fight, because if I hold on to this, my anger and everything else is going to it's going to affect my job performance for real. And because I didn't hold on to it, because I forgave them, when I left Germany, I had actually been fired from that job. This is something that I really wanted to do, but I had been fired from it. And I was put into a job that nobody wanted to do. Set me in a little office and said, here's your desk. Here's your phone. Here's the filing cabinet. This is your job. Nobody's here to train you. I've been in the job 5 minutes. The phone rings, and it was the wing commander. It's like the CEO. And he's cussing me out. And I said, I listened to what he said. I said, sir, I've only been at this job now for about an hour. I said, I hear what you're saying. Give me until the end of the day, and I'll get the solution solved. He said, okay, click. I didn't even know how to do this job. Picked up the regulations, read the regulations, went into the file cabinet, looked at what was there, called all these different squadrons, said, okay, you need to come up here. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Resubmitted the report before the end of that day. He called me, cussing me out because he got cussed out by his boss. He was a two-star general. A five-star was calling him, cussing him out. I resubmitted the report, show you how y'all works. The MASCOM said, hey, this is the best this has ever looked. Commended this general. This general calls me and says, commend me and says, now, whatever you want, this is my first day on this job, whatever you want, you got it. Because you have solved a problem for me that has been a problem for a long time. And I got fired from one job, and here I am, first day on this job, and this general is saying, hey, from now on, whatever you want, you got. So the Most High knew what he was doing. But the truth of the matter is, because I forgave and I wasn't bitter, I stepped into where I could have said, you know what, the heck with this, you know, I'm just going to throw something together, and it'd be whatever it be. But because I had forgiven and was not mad at the military, was not mad at those men, I said, you know, I would not let them stop me from doing what it was that at the time I wanted to do. And they sort of put a crimp in it for a minute, for about 7 years, really. But I never stopped fighting it, and eventually it was corrected. So when we don't forgive, we will tend to live in those feelings. We will react out of those feelings. We will treat others out of those feelings, out of those emotions. So how do we know when we have healed from something? Because sometimes we can believe we're healed, and as soon as it comes back up again, we're going through the same issue. So how do we know when we have healed from something? I was taught it this way. When you can look back at whatever you went through, whatever was hurting you, when you can look back at it and not go back and relive it, meaning that you look back, whenever you think about this thing, it doesn't hurt you anymore. It doesn't have the same effect on you anymore. Whenever you look back at it, you don't go back to that time and relive it. And you have healed from it. Because when you have not healed from it, whenever it comes up, if it happened to you at 9 years old and you're not healed from it, every time it comes up, you go back to 9 years old. And you relive it, those feelings from that age. If it happened to you at 16, if it happened to you at 21, if it happened to you at 5, you go back to that age and you relive it. And you feel the pain, you feel the hurt because you haven't been healed from it yet, because you haven't forgiven yet. That really is the root. All our hurts and our pains is forgiveness. And a lot of times we don't want to forgive because we feel like it's doing something to that person. But it's you the one that's hurting. It's you the one that's making the decision how you're going to react in the situation. What you're going to hold on to. How are you going to allow it to affect you? Sometimes we get hurt, and we want to hold on to the hurt because we think it makes us stronger. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me that way anymore. We don't want to let it go. And that's a problem for you the individual. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They may not deserve to be forgiven, but the one that's hurting from it is you. And so you have to, in your heart, say, you know what? You got it. You got it. But I'm not going to let you hurt me. I'm not going to let you hurt me mentally or physically or psychologically anymore. And I'm not going to let this situation have power over me because it is affecting how I feel. It's affecting how I react to people. It's making me sick to my, might be giving you an ulcer. Might be putting pain in your body and you don't know where it's coming from. I'm not going to let this situation have power over me anymore. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm not going to let this situation affect me like this anymore. I'm going to let it go so that I can heal, so that I can feel better, so that I'm not upset all the time. Because clearly it don't affect you. So forgiveness is not for that individual. Forgiveness is for you. So you don't hold on to those negative feelings. So that you don't react out of those negative feelings. So that you're not upset all the time. So that you're not treating people like you really don't want to treat them that way, but because you won't let it go, not just that person, but other people, you treat as though they were the ones that did it to you. Like, what did I do? Never mind. So I think that underneath everything, if we're converted, at least you be converted, and we are coming back to the Most High, we're coming to him, and he's teaching us that, you know what? Forgive those who have transgressed against you like I forgave you. I don't want to have negative feelings towards you. I don't want to send you to the lake. I am the ultimate judge. And what I say is the last word. And I don't want to have a last word of go to the lake. So if you will truly repent of your transgression against me, I will forgive you. And I won't hold those feelings against you. We have to do the same thing. And if they won't repent, then you know that you have not gained a brother or a sister, but you're not going to let them affect you the way that they were. And I'm not going to deal with you. We're not going to have that relationship like that. Again, you and I. But at least it opens. A lot of us couldn't even go into new relationships because we had this baggage. We carried this baggage with us. And the person that, you know, we're starting over with, and, you know, we need to even get into those things because from the standpoint of the word of the Most High, traditionally we've been hopping in and out of relationships. In and out. And from that standpoint, I'm going to speak from that standpoint because we were ill. We didn't know better. We didn't have a standard. This was the standard that was given to us. We were jumping in and out of relationships, and the baggage that had from one relationship, we were carrying into another. Never healing, but, and probably a lot of times they didn't know what we wanted. Well, we knew what we wanted, but we didn't really have a real true picture of what that was. A lot of times, a lot of young ladies are looking for love, and they're looking for acceptance, and what they're getting is sex. And because the man is telling them what he thinks they want to hear, to that end, just being real with you, he's telling you what you want to hear to that end. I'm trying to get between your legs. You looking for love. You looking for acceptance. You're looking for a true relationship. But that may not be his intent from the beginning. So if he looks right, smells right, talks right, appeals to you, you let your guard down. And the words that he told you, you have eaten them. And he's doing it to the end to get between your legs. Because we are getting into a relationship where they become physical. I'm talking about physical as in sexual. And we don't get married. Because that's not what we're being taught. It's not what's being passed down to us. So we're going to have to deal with those things as well. Just not today, but you got to understand that we may be looking for things that we've been looking for since we were a child. And we're looking for someone to fulfill those things. And if he comes talking right, or she comes talking right, then we are still not going into the relationship from the eyes of the Most High. We're going into the relationship from our own eyes, what we feel like we need. And so, if we are converted, then we understand that anything that we do from this point on has to be by the Most High standard. And in some cases, we still might hate that because it puts us in a position where maybe what we were looking for, it looks like we're not going to be allowed to have it. And that can be a tough thing to deal with. I understand. I know. But the Most High has to still be our standard. And he has to be first. And we have to understand that. So even in those situations, we just have to forgive and understand that, hey, this is my life now. And I need to do everything that I can to be happy within this life. When we have been conditioned to be physical beings, be a little bit raw right now. When we have been conditioned, when we have been taught, and a lot of our women have gone through this. I can speak from this from the standpoint of a man. Talk to a lot of women in these conditions. That they were looking for love. And what they found was sex. And a lot of our women, when they realized that that was the game, that's what they were being drawn into, sometimes they became the aggressor. Oh, no, you're not going to take advantage of me. I'm going to use you. And we go into these relationships, and then we find out that we're contrary. for the Most High. So as part of our conversion, we have to, number one, realize who and where we were at, who and what we wanted, how we got into the situation that we were in, and then we have to be honest, how did we get there? Was it the lust of the flesh that got me there? Was it the lust of my eye that got me there? Was it the pride of life that got me there? I was looking for this, but this is what I got. When we find ourselves in those situations, we have to forgive all those people in our life, even ourselves. And that's one of the hardest things to do is forgive ourselves. Because we start thinking back on, well, I could have done this differently. I could have done that differently. I shouldn't have did this. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have enticed this. Or even sometimes we're not even the one at fault. Maybe we were a child and we were seduced, or it was just taken from us. We had no choice in the matter. And we have to go back and we have to confront that and say, you know what, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you took from me. Because right now I'm going through and it's hurting me. And as long as I give it power, it's going to hurt me. So as I said before we started, I can't speak to every issue or situation that we have all gone through. I will only say this to it, to no matter whether you are male or female, coming to the Most High as a child, then you have to find out what it is that the Father wants and line your life up with that. And you may think some things may be unfair. He says, it is better for you to suffer now than to suffer for eternity. So if your motivation is to satisfy your need now, and you find yourself in the situation where, you know what, I can't, this is not open to me anymore. Not currently. This is what I desire, but it's not open to me according to the word of the Most High. Because it's better that you are defrauded now. I have to get those verses when we get to this. But it's better for you to be defrauded now than to live in the lake, than to have to be thrown into the lake. And understand that life is not fair. And we are all in different positions. We're all in different conditions. And we all have to realign with the word of the Most High. We have to find out what our Heavenly Father wants, and we have to come to him like a child. And we may not be 100% innocent. We may not be 100% pure. We may not be 100% clean. But when we come to him, whatever condition we're in, we have to be repentant and line up with him. Because understand, a lot of these situations that we find ourselves in is because as a society, we are not living by the standards of the Most High. We're not living by those standards. And we also have to bring into the equation that he sent us into this because of our forefathers. And so we are suffering some things because of the sins of our forefathers. But if we want to be right with the Most High, then we have to be right with the Most High. And so we have to come to him and look at his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, we train ourselves and live according to that and not come outside of it. Not come outside of it. And we have to come to terms with that. Now, I know most of us, some of us are older than others, but none of us are children, age-wise. We might be still children, spiritual-wise. We might be coming to terms with different aspects of our life. And I'm just here to tell us this morning that unless we line up with the Father, no matter what we've gone through, if we weren't allowed to live as a virgin when we were younger, and we find ourselves in the position where, you know what, marriage is not open to me, then maybe it's time to live as a virgin now. You get to start all over with the Father and live wholly before him. Now, just consider those things. Make it where you are lining up with him. Don't make it to line up with the world. Make sure that you are using his standard to make your choice. I pray we can hear this. So let's repeat the verse, and we will close out for this particular spiritual wealth. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. And we have some great, great input on what that means. Coming to him innocent, not knowing any hatred, any color, any prejudice, depending on him to teach us the way that we should act, what we should wear, what we should eat, how we should treat one another. Really to be what? Retrained not to live like the world, but to live like our Heavenly Father wants us to. Because unless we do that, we shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So many times.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. Amen. So we want, this is where we want to be. This has to be foundational. And it should be our fear. It should be our fear of him. And what we have to give up, what he promises us, that makes us align with him. We should not be hearing this stuff and not learning from it and not holding ourselves accountable to it. And I know sometimes we might let our personal wants, our personal desires, our personal needs come in the way. Sometimes we have to fast from our needs. And some fasts last longer than others. So we will pick this up on next week, and we'll be in Matthew chapter 19. And as you go this week, as the children of the Most High Elohim, look at your life. Be converted. Look at yourself as starting over. And when it's starting over means that, hey, a lot of perceptions I had, a lot of my understandings I had, a lot of the things I've gone through, I need to line them up with the Word of the Most High. And I need to line my life up in accordance with His Word. On next week, we will pick this up. Let's just read this, and maybe we'll move to another section next week. Very quickly, let's go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 19. Because this is very serious to be mentioned in all three Gospels. This is serious. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. But Yeshua said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We need to be bringing our children to Messiah. We need to be teaching them how to trust and to live according to that. But we ourselves have heard it. And we have to be as little children coming to Him as well. The book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. And we will close out. Mark, chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of Elohim as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arm and put his hands upon them and blessed them. The Most High wants to bless us, but he wants us to come to him truly as his children, counting on him for everything, for instruction, and holding ourselves accountable to his standard, not our own. Not our own. So some of us may have to live a life differently than what we're used to. Some of us may have to live a life differently than what we really desire. But we have to live the life according to what the Most High and according to His rules. That's where we want to get to. We want to live it according to His rules. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, attract us to you, Father, such that we will be as your little children, that we would trust you in everything and all things, and that we would make your standards our standards, that we will do your word as you have said that we should do, that we should not hate but love, that we should not walk in unrighteousness, but righteousness. Give us your spirit. Give us your mind. Give us the desire to be pleasing unto you, Father. And most of all, let us fear and believe your word. Fear you and believe your word, that what you say you will do, you will do. Whether it be good for us or whether it be for our evil, you will do it. We want to be on the blessing side, Father. We do not want to be on the curse side. So strengthen us, Father. Magnify and manifest yourself to us that we might walk according to your children, that we might emulate you. Help us to align our lives with your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. May the Most High keep you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, remember, I love you, but your Heavenly Father, Yah, loves you way more. Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
say it together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say it together, there is power.
There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Declare and say,
to break every chain, break every chain, break every.
Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an arm.